First order of business is approving three separate minutes, the 14th, 27th, and 27th.
Motion, hello. Horton.
Any questions or comments on them? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carried. Department requests, public health.
Good morning.
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 Public health, we have a request for contingency fund transfer for 2024 special children preschool expenses up to $535,000.
And as a reminder, we significantly increased this for the 2025 budget. It's based on essentially caseload. It's been a number of years. I think I mentioned human services. It's been probably a decade since we've seen the numbers these long, but or these this high. But when I first started, we were doing contingency fund transfers for these services frequently. Doesn't make it better. Right. The other thing that we commit to you is to get you these numbers earlier, in like in October, November, if we're trending this high.
And the funds are there to cover?
Yes.
All right. I'll make the motion, Horton.
I'll second it, Nichols.
Any questions? Yes.
So what did we line item it for this coming fiscal year?
We increased it almost $700,000.
So we don't expect to have this transfer this year?
You don't know?
We have no idea.
So we increased it. We didn't shoot the moon on it. If caseload continue, we might be 50 grand short. If it trends like it did in 24, we might be 50 grand short.
But we're not expecting we would have for 505.
No.
Okay.
Something, there would have to be some kind of seismic change either in policy, caseload, something like that.
Right.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Lynn.
Is that mic on?
No, it is.
We are requesting approval to allocate an additional opioid funds for the CASA Trinity Air Program for 2025, the amount of $99,830.40. I do expect, with the ability to now bill for peer services and some other funding streams, that the program will be funded, will be financially viable in other sources coming in 2026. But this would to keep it running through 2025.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Any questions?
Yeah. Where is this being transferred from?
Opioid funds from
okay, the... so unallocated funds to out. We're just allocating them.
Okay. Jeff, you're good. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. District Attorney.
How much was it, Chris? 12 grand, 2,500? Or 12,500?
It was not to exceed 12,000.
Yeah. So essentially, it was driver diversion, which, as you all know, driver diversion funds roll into unrestricted fund balance. So utilizing that, they had I think it was 2 years ago, they had a request to buy new office furniture. They didn't at the time because they were waiting for staff changes and such. So this would be 12, not to exceed 12,500 from unrestricted funds to purchase. Is it four cubicle setups with chairs and the whole thing?
I'm pretty sure though that during public safety, that's what it was, is not to exceed 12,500.
Does that include the computers as well, or just the furniture?
Computers would be budgeted separately. Really? We already have the funds for those. It'd be the physical desk chairs.
A motion?
Motion, Horton.
Second, Nichols. I see the they got jury selection over there, so that's probably why nobody's here.
Yeah, it's a busy
time.
Busy day.
Former legislator Mullen might end up getting called on that.
He'll have fun.
As a defendant?
As a juror.
Oh, okay. Oh.
They don't want him there.
Not yet.
Probably get excused quick.
One of my favorite lines ever was after Judge Roach got elected as judge, he was still a legislator. Or no, he was a public defender.
He, yeah.
Yeah. And he came in, was speaking to a committee, and Mr. Mayo says, so at what point do we have to start calling you Your Honor? And he said, at the same time, we call you the defendant. All right. We have a motion and a second. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Probation.
Good morning. I am here today regarding two of our annual grants that we're asking that you accept on our behalf. The first of those is our annual ignition interlock device monitoring grant. That's in the amount of $11,614. We use that to support our supervision of the IID devices for DWI offenders.
Motion, Horton.
Second.
Any questions?
So,
all in favor?
I do have a question.
Oh. Yes.
So we're going to, do we already have the system purchased?
It's not a system. Pardon me. The offenders themselves pay that cost directly to the companies that are contracted with the state.
Right.
So this money supports our supervision. So we gather the electronic information from the companies that, you know, provide the monitoring devices and then take action as needed.
We report quarterly and we get paid after we get the report. We send them the reports.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. This was kind of the bone they threw when they changed the law, whatever, a decade ago, that it does require additional work on Craig's department. So they threw, obviously, not a huge amount of money, but some.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Okay, and our second one is this year's, pretrial services grant. And the amount this year is $218,456. And again, that's money that we use to support. We have one dedicated staff person, support staff, supervisory staff, and we're able to kind of comprehensively cover the pretrial monies through this grant.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Any questions?
I just want to know whether this is a similar amount of money. Is this an annual thing that we're receiving, and is it roughly what we would normally get?
Yes, it is. Yeah, the state has a magical formula that they use based on the total dollar amount allocated statewide, and they crunch using some kind of algorithm the numbers to generate the individual counties' awards. We have no real control over that. We just receive what they tell us we get.
Last year, we received roughly the same amount?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, they have a lot of magical formulas. Unfortunately, they make stuff disappear more than they do.
Shortly before I started, probation used to be funded at about 13% of total cost, not even close to that now. So it's good that we get this. Don't want to act ungrateful, but at the same time, to Scott's point, it has significantly been reduced over the years.
Right.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Craig. Sheriff's office.
I'm going to do that one because I don't see the sheriff here. So this was noticed during audit process. No fault to the sheriff's office, but for Black Creek, there hasn't been an annual maintenance contract. So the auditor flagged it for non-payment. So just not to get in the weeds, but when it goes through audit checks contract, checks resolutions, checks those sort of things to make sure that it's either in the budget or you folks approved it and there's a contract. Notice there wasn't. So to get the bills paid, we'd like you to authorize the work. There's two contracts. The work's already done. One is for the Sallyport software. So the secure entrance to the jail where they drive in, that's hooked up to the Black Creek system. That was an upgrade of $30,050. So it's all the software, the interfaces, the hardware, all of that. So looking for authorization to essentially retroactively contract.
Motion, Horton.
Second, Nick.
That was one of two?
One of two.
So we're doing them individually.
If you don't mind.
Any questions on that one? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. And now the regular service plan, which again is one that Leslie has picked up that for a number of years, we just haven't, none of us have noticed that there wasn't that contract. The amount for 2025 for maintenance of the entire Black Creek system, to my knowledge, is $19,087.36. And this contract is renewable for multiple years afterwards.
Is there any escalation on those?
Don't know yet. Normally there is. Normally there's a few percent at least.
Right.
Now that we got these, we'll ask the sheriff's department to come back at the beginning of the year, like the other departments, and say, here's the contract renewal and here's the right amount increase. So this just a lot gets us to pay Black Creek and cleans up process.
Oh, so were these in the budget?
Yeah, all this is budgeted.
Yes. No contract.
No contract. And again, none of us noticed it. So want to fix it to make the auditors happy.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
I'll second it.
Was there a motion?
Yep.
Okay. I would have thought that this changed this year because we just spent $1.6 million on additional cells or additional, what do they call, pods that adopted the Black Creek system. Yeah. So the 19 covers the new ones plus the...
That's my understanding.
Original one?
That's my understanding. And if I had to guess, because this is the level one, it's called level one service plan. If I had to guess, I think some of the first year maintenance was baked into that big amount that we did.
Okay.
I think that's one of the reasons we didn't catch it.
Okay.
Yeah, that could be.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Commissioner of Finance.
Good morning. The monthly financial reports for purchase orders, budget transfers, and corrections under 2500. In addition, we have the temporary and overtime report for the 2024 year, as well as the county area summary for the same time period.
So I have some questions on the overtime and temporary hire one.
Okay.
County clerk ran over by 5,000 and DMV was under. No, I'm sorry. County clerk ran over by 5,000 and DMV was under by 9,000.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just a flip between the two?
And no.
If we were short on DMV staff, weren't we working people overtime in DMV to cover the offices?
We were, but when they changed the closure pattern, that dropped it.
Okay.
We were for a while. The temp hire, there was an individual who retired who was able to come back while we had vacancies in the county clerk. There was a retired individual that we brought back for a number of months to help out.
Okay. Sheriff. Overtime budget was 246,000. We bumped it to 270 and he came in at 410. Jail budget was 355. We bumped it to 763 and he came in at 834.
Yeah, good enough.
Is there any recognition of what the limits are on spending, or he just spends what he wants?
So my perspective, the jail, I think, is directly attributable to the vacancies that we have.
I understand the jail.
Yep.
But the road patrol being $140,000 over budget, I mean, that's almost 50% of what the budget was.
There are no procedural steps for myself or finance to take to
none
limit that.
No.
So it's a legislative thing?
It's a legislative thing. That's one of the reasons these reports are provided. Again, I think it's based on staffing pattern, but we run quarterly OT reports, and you have some deputies, I mean, and it's not a criticism, but there are some deputies that are making more than the sheriff and the under sheriff because of overtime, because they will take the overtime. You know, there are vacations, shifts need to be filled, but
Right. I don't want to punish people who want to work because it's hard to get people who want to work, but that's a lot of overtime.
Are we actually down any like deputies?
Not to mine. I mean, we've had a vacancy here too, but you know, with last year's contract and now with this contract, they've been pretty well staffed on that side. The jail is a completely
different. Yeah, I know the jail is way under.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the jail, you understand why there's overtime because there's vacancies and they have to have a certain level of staffing.
Yeah.
But the road patrol, to me, just does not make sense. All right.
Kelly, another question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I wanted to ask, when we do the CAP transportation, is that a deputy duty?
Normally, it's a deputy duty. I would say we do the chargebacks to the to the cities.
But that doesn't cover. I mean, we gave them a good deal.
It's like 20, and the volume isn't what I would say I anticipated at the beginning. They certainly are doing it.
Is it more or less?
Less.
Less.
We charge back per transport, and I think total between the two municipalities, it averages $30,000 to $40,000 a year we charge back. Right. So it's not hundreds and hundreds of transports, it's dozens.
Okay. Right. Because we would be potentially transporting twice a day, right?
Theoretically,
but that's the potential.
That is certainly the potential. Over since the program was put into place, we haven't seen that volume.
Okay. The other thing is that I don't think that we have a clear understanding. If you have a deputy that's on duty and something comes up at near the end of his shift, doesn't he have to finish that? So, I mean, just because you're supposed to clock out at 7 o'clock, if you got a call at 6 and you're tied up with that call and you don't leave until 9, I mean, that's overtime. I mean, I think that we need to ask the sheriff, you know, I have no idea how he schedules. I don't know if he has a routine where there are supposed to be so many deputies on the road. I think that we would need to ask him some of those questions again before we just look at this number and get upset about it. I mean, I am seeing some of the W-2s from deputies because of my outside work, and I am astonished at how much some of them are getting paid. However, like Will said, we don't want to punish someone who is actually willing to take the work and do the overtime. So I think that if we are concerned, as we should be, perhaps we need to dig a little bit deeper into this.
Jeff,
I to kind of piggyback off that, if that's the case, I mean, would we be smarter to looking at, instead of paying all this overtime, to looking at if that's the case and we need another deputy, would we be cheaper to create another deputy position if we had to versus this overtime? I mean, that's just an idea.
Potentially. All depends upon staffing patterns, and
I'm just curious. Yeah. I mean, it was just a.
I mean, that's what we look at. 911 was an example of that. We've looked at that back in the day, where, you know, we're having regularly scheduled overtime, so we created a couple more positions.
Because, like in the jail, you can feed all you want, you can't fill them.
Right.
But if the deputies are actually full, and you know, we needed another one, we might be able to find one. But I mean, you can create all you want in the jail; it's not going to work.
Sheriff, we're looking at the overtime and temporary hire report that finance office does for the year, and just questioning the $410,000 of overtime in the sheriff's office for deputies.
Okay.
Is there any explanation? I mean, it's the budget was 270 and you're at 410.
All of the overtime, that the majority of the overtime we have can be broken down through munis, and we can show you exactly our Nova time. I'm not prepared with any report right now. Excuse me. Okay. But I can get that information to you.
Right. I guess, is there state mandates or something that is causing there to be a lack of sheriffs or?
Well, so anytime, for example, when we had the flood in Jasper, we had almost the entire agency working on overtime. When we have emergencies like the Cameron line of duty shooting, that had everybody out for almost 24 hours. Because we have the number that we have, when there's unusual circumstances, it creates a tremendous amount of overtime. I can tell you that the majority of overtime that we have is to fill shift and to cover folks that are off sick, off injured, or off vacation. So, but again, I can generate a report for that, but having no knowledge that I was going to be asked about it today, I don't have that report at my fingertips.
So do we have a lack of officers, or because you'd think you'd have some officers to be able to fill?
So that's a much bigger question, because we have 1,400 square miles and we have between 20 and a little over about 24 patrol officers. So each patrol officer is covering 500 square miles on their patrol when we're fully staffed. The County of Monroe just did a staffing analysis where they were very upset that they only had one deputy per 60 square miles and hired 40 additional deputies to cover that. So if we were to do a staffing analysis, I think it would say we require a lot more deputies than what we have. We're one down from our full allotment right now, what's been approved by you folks. But again, that's three deputies per shift and a supervisor to cover 1,400 square miles.
I'm not sure that the County of Monroe is reflective of what this county is as far as density, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have a hell of a lot more people per square mile.
All right.
Sheriff, when we do some of the special services, and I'm trying to rack my brain and think of what they are, ones where you charge back, we charge back some of those services of deputies at the overtime rate. Is that correct?
Correct. When we do...
What examples of those are there where you provide deputies, and would those deputies be being paid overtime, but then would some of that money come back in reimbursements?
So our two BOCES deputies are fully reimbursed.
Okay.
When we do court security for any of the towns or villages that need it for, say they have a jury trial or something coming up, that's deputies at time and a half plus 10%. And those are fully reimbursed. I just actually had, and I've got to get with Mr. Roselle about this, Point of the Bluff provides concerts in the summer, and they're looking to contract with us for specifically to have a deputy on site during that. So we'll have to work through that process with you guys and the county attorney. But the vast majority of our overtime is going to be fill shift. And I mean, we can go back 5 years and look at what our actual overtime has been compared to our budgeted. But there's just more going on right now with dangerous situations, pursuits, use of force. Everything that we deal with has gone up since 2019, since bail reform, and it's not a big surprise. So by the fact that we're arraigning and releasing, folks are out committing more crimes and creating more victims than ever before, because it's typically the fifth or sixth or seventh arrest when they finally are remanded. So our deputies are busier than ever before. They're handling more dangerous situations than ever before. And we make sure that they're trained for that more than ever before, because we have to for them to survive. So there's no waste, I can tell you that.
I was just curious, when we receive that revenue back on some of those services, do we offset that against the expense?
It would show up in revenue.
So we're not offsetting some of this overtime with some of the revenue that comes back in.
From a budget standpoint, it would, because the revenue would show up in the sheriff
report.
Not in this report.
So it would just show up in the total budget for that department.
Right. That's what I'm saying too. So some of this overtime is created because of services that we agree to do, but we're not seeing the revenue number that offsets it. I mean, that might be a small piece, but it's one piece of a very big puzzle.
Jeff.
Sheriff, I have another question just on this same overtime thing. If you have a nighttime deputy, this one you don't need a report to answer. If you have a nighttime deputy,
mm-hmm,
and they write a ticket, so usually they're on shift, but then, for instance, say they write the ticket for Campbelltown Court at 9 a.m. and that deputy has to show up for court.
Right.
That's overtime as well, yes. Right? Because they're not, they, you have no way to know when they're supposed to be.
Correct. In court. And that's one of the dynamics of police work is that the majority of your DWI enforcement happens at night, but all of the court happens
during the day.
During the day. And, you know.
So when they get, let's just use Nybeck, for instance, because mm-hmm. they can say his name. If he writes a DWI and he was on night shift, then he has to come in for 10 a.m. court.
And if it's a felony for 10 a.m. grand jury, and then any pretrial and any court and any connections they need to make with the DA's office before trial, et cetera. Yeah.
Do they have an automatic call in though? Like, for instance, my town highway guys, when they get mm-hmm. called in, they get 3 hours automatically. Yeah. Do those deputies have the same thing?
Yes. They have a 2 hour, I believe it is. I'd have to check the contract. It's either two or three. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. But yeah, I can, there's no waste in the overtime. It's all necessary.
Right, we're just thinking, you know, if
how do we massage it? Yeah,
if
well, and that's anytime you've got a large amount of overtime, the challenge is it more cost effective to hire more people, or is it more cost effective to pay the overtime?
Right.
Okay, and then on temporary hire under the sheriff's budget, the $573,000, are those the SROs? So that's where they fall as temporary. Okay. And then my last question on temporary hire was social services. What is $1 million of temporary hire in social services?
Sheriff's leaving. He doesn't want to answer that one.
Not sure that I can either. Social services temp hire.
I mean, they came in under. They're at 850 versus $1,036,000, but I just don't know what makes up $1 million of temporary hire. Social services.
Yeah, it we'll get back to you. It should not be, we certainly do not temporary hire $1 million worth of time. That's for sure.
It's just, it must be how some
is recorded.
Contractuals are, yeah.
I think it's a accounting coding issue.
Yeah. Okay.
I think we probably do less than 10 grand in actual temp hire and social services.
Yeah. But there was budgeted a million. So right. There's something that it's coded as a temp hire. Yeah.
Right.
All right. And then on the department summaries page, social services down at the bottom of the first page, the amended or the modified budget for 2024 is 26,000, or I'm sorry, 26,158. But then it went to modified to 50 million. What is that 24 million difference? You see that?
Revenue line.
Yep.
We'll get back to you. That has to be some kind of accounting cleanup of some sort. I mean, we did not receive any sort of enhanced federal or state aid. In fact, we were receiving less reimbursement in Medicaid than prior years.
Yeah.
So
it's almost doubled.
Yeah.
And it could it be a timing issue? Yes, but not that much.
No, we'll get back to you on that. Cause yeah, that's curious.
Okay. That was all did anyone else have any questions on those schedules?
Those are the ones that I was looking at.
All right.
Sheriff, I took care of your item. So.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. So Yeah.
Was there anything else for Stacy? Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
County manager.
Yep. So most of these, except for the last item, have been in front of you before about half an hour ago. So $190,000 in state revenue from ILS to cover expenses in assigned council.
I'll make the motion. Horton. I'll second.
Motion second. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. Deputies, 20-year retirement, again, as talked at admin, this would bring
Ocean
the...
Horton. Second, Thu.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. Home rule request. This is the 1% sales tax that we discussed at 900,000. That's the motion from admin, 900,000 each city and the collective towns and villages and mortgage tax.
Motion, Horton.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Carried.
Okay, thank you. Now, this is the bigger one that we started talking about, and I sent you an email on the sales tax agreement.
Mortgage tax.
What's that?
We got mortgage tax.
Oh, I thought you did them together.
Oh, I didn't get to vote no then.
Oh, well, then do them separate. I didn't. You're the chair of the committee. It doesn't matter. You
have to amend the motion, so it's just sales tax, and then we'll make another motion on the mortgage.
I'll make the motion to amend it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. That's just on sales tax.
Right. Now mortgage tax.
Mortgage tax. I'll make the motion.
Second Horton.
Can I go on for an hour about this or sort of no. comment?
Probably not an hour, but
a special meeting.
Yeah, you got time, Scott.
He's at 11. I have an hour. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No.
No.
Carries.
I kind of wanted to hear a little bit of what you're going to say.
Read prior minutes.
I've never agreed with the additional mortgage tax. And I always use the same example. A young couple buys their first house. They go and get a mortgage. And we expect to collect tax from that. Because they got a mortgage. They're going to pay interest and pay the mortgage off to get their house. But for some reason, they have to pay the county something. I don't like it. I never liked it.
Guess I have to go with farm credit, who's wholly exempt.
All right, sales tax agreement.
Okay, so the larger 3%, again, met with the cities. This agreement is 5 years in term. We're recommending extending the terms as current, not changing it. For those that were on the legislature back in 5-10 years ago, this was multi-years in the process. The reason for Mr. Thu, Mr. Tobia, that we got into this is there's a quirk in, and we told the state this when they did it, there's a quirk in the tax cap formula that we talked about how we share sales tax with municipalities. Some elect to use that as a credit for their residents against the county taxes. Some take that as cash. When they switch, and we had a couple towns back in 2016, 17 or so that just went and took a bunch of cash. I think almost $250,000, I think, was the largest to purchase a piece of equipment, which that's fine. But that actually comes off of our tax cap, even though it's a pass through the formula, the way that it's set up. So we have about $10 million worth of credit in sales tax. If those municipalities then went and switched to cash, our tax cap could be negative. You would actually, just from a formula standpoint of the tax cap, you would have to cut taxes just based on a town's election of cash or credit. The only way to prevent that is to have a sales tax agreement with the cities where they don't preempt, which is what this does. It benefits the cities. Again, it's about what they would collect. I think it's, we talked about it 5 years ago. It stabilizes them because, candidly, the city of Corning, when Corning Inc. is booming, their sales tax is booming. When Corning Inc. is down a little bit, their sales tax is down. So they can ride that wave. Hornell, very heavily retail, and also now with Alstom. Again, this smooths it for them, so they get a benefit of that. We get a benefit of certainty, knowing that we have the formula set. It seems like a good deal for all, and we've locked in the town. This happened 5 years ago. The towns were told at that time, no switching back from cash to credit, because it really harms the county from a tax cap standpoint. So I have not received any negative feedback from the municipalities because sales tax has been good. All the municipalities have seemed good with the deal.
The municipalities outside of the cities, they know if you're getting cash, you're going to continue to get cash. If you're getting credit, you can't switch.
Mm-hmm. Right. So this just locks in what the municipalities
It actually locked it in 5 years ago. So this is an extension of that agreement.
Motion, Horton.
That's fine. Second, Lou.
Yeah, we had, and they were in my district, we had one town that realized if they brought in more cash, they could reduce the town rate per thousand, but the county rate per thousand for those town residents would increase. So they would rather apply it against their budget than leave it applied against the county rate for those same residents.
And we got people, that was probably the hottest one that we got. We got people screaming where we presented a budget. I think at the time it was like a 0.5% increase in the levy, and their share went up like 15%. And so they called us screaming.
Yeah.
It was just because of the cash credit issue.
So we did this to protect not just us, but the towns and villages too.
Yeah.
So they don't have their swing.
It's too bad we couldn't extend it for a 30-year agreement.
I know. Yeah. The comptroller, this was one that this took a couple of years because the comptroller had to get involved in authorizing the cities to stop their preemption of sales tax and transfer to us. But cities are happy with it. I haven't received negative feedback from any of the municipalities in all these years. So
no.
If it's not broke, just look, we're recommending just, again, change the date for 5 more years.
Any other comments or questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. That it?
Executive session.
Okay. I have one question for Vicky before we go into executive session. What is the status, or is there a status, of the New York State law that changed when local offices are up for election?
The terms.
They were trying to put it on an even year deal. That was going to affect a lot of people on this board.
So when we went to conference in January, this was a very hot topic.
Okay.
Basically, at this point, it was... the judge ruled it was unconstitutional. They have appealed it, but my understanding is the appellate has not taken this up yet. We don't know if they're going to, or when, if they do, when they will. So what we were told is basically things are just going to move forward like they always do. If it does end up, the appellate does pick it up, and whatever they rule on, we will have to make the adjustment on the terms, whatever happens.
But basically for this election season, it's status quo.
Yeah, it's status quo unless something happens.
Okay.
So we're just going to move forward, and basically things will just be kind of, if they make a change, depending on what it is, we'll have to adjust all of that and go from there.
Okay.
So there's really nothing.
Thank you.
You know how it goes.
Yeah.
All right, motion to go into executive session.
It's, and Mitch, acquisition, disposition of real property.
Yes.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We are in executive session.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Motion to adjourn regular meeting.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We are adjourned.
Yippee.